స్వయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్య శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం త్రిలా ప్రవిష్ణ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సదస్య శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహరాశీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతపొడి వైష్ణవ గందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bodhareshya Mri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devam Yoravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Desha Dharine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
పాదరేణుమీష్ణశ యాసం హరికదో గీతం
గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసతాం పురదో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీహరిరాధికాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, last Sunday, we were discussing the second chapter of Ekadashi Skandam, where King Nimi have asked the nine yogis, Navayogindras they call, about the what is the Atyandika Kshemam. Atyandika Kshemam means the ultimate benefit, ultimate welfare of the living entity. What should one strive for in this world? This was the question what was raised. Ada atyandikam kshemam prachamo bhavatamanaka samsareesmin shanardhobi salsanga shevadranam. That was the main question what Nimi Maharaj has asked the nine yogis. What should one do? Ada atyandikam kshemam prachamo bhavatamanaka samsareesmin shanardhobi Salsanga Shevasandranam. Nimi Maharaj was appreciating their presence by saying that even a very split second of an association with a great personality like that would give them the opportunity to get out of this cycle of material life, material existence. Keeping that in the mind, he has mentioned that here. So Shri Narada Uvacham. Right before that you will see a verse there. Dharman Bhagavadan Bruta Yadina Shudaye Kshamam Yai Prasanna Pravannaya Dasya Tyajmanam Apyajam. Dharman Bhagavadan Bruta, verse 31. Dharman Bhagavadan Bruta Yadina Shudaye Kshamam Yai Prasanna Pravannaya Dasya Tyajmanam Apyajam. Tell us about Bhagavata Dharmam or Bhagavadam, it says. In the middle of Bhagavadam, he is asking, tell me about Bhagavadam. So one wonders, why is it like this? We are in the middle of Bhagavadam and he is saying again, Dharmam Bhagavadan Bhruda, tell me about Bhagavata Dharmam, it says. So, Yadina Shudaye Kshamam Yai Prasanna Prabannaya Dasya Tyalpanam Apyajam. That by hearing that, one gets liberated and free from this material life once for all. So please talk to me about that Bhagavata Dharmam. That is what he was asking Nimi was asking the sages who were present there. Now, in reply to that, we have seen this before, that the Kavi Maharshi, Srinarada Uvacham, Evam De Nimina Prishta Vasudeva Mahatamaha Pratibhujya Bhruvan Pritya Sadasya Ratvijam Nrupam. ఏవం తే నిమినా పృష్ట వసుదేవ మహత్తమాహం ప్రతిపూజ్యా బ్రువన్ ప్రీత్యా ససదస్యర్త్విజం నృపం. వసుదేవ మహత్తమాహ హియరింగ్ ఆల్ ది శ్రీనారద మహర్షి సెడ్ లైక్ దిస్ that Nimi Maharaj was very pleased with this. Nimi Maharaj was very pleased with their presence, and they have showed their respects to the great yogis, and the yogis started answering that question with these answers. The next answers are coming. So here there are nine questions which the nine yogis have answered. What are the nine questions? This we have to keep in mind all the time. What is Bhagavata Dharma? What is Krishna consciousness? In other words, this was the first question. What is Krishna consciousness means? And the answer to that is what the next 12 verses Kavi Maharshi is answering that. What is Krishna consciousness? Then what is a symptom of a devotee? That is the next one. So next question, that is answered by the next yogi. Kavi has answered the question, what is Bhagavata Dharma? Bhagavata Dharma was answered by or Krishna consciousness, the question raised by Videha or King Nimi, the answer was given by Kavi. Then Videha asked the next question, who is a devotee? What is the symptoms of a devotee? Symptoms of a devotee. Bhakta Lakshanam, it's called. So the symptoms of a devotee is spoken in the next. Hari has answered that question. Hari has answered that question. So Bhagavata Dharmam, Bhakta Lakshanam. Then, subsequent to that, the question came up, what is Maya? What is this thing called Maya? So next, Yogeshwara answers that. Then the question came, how to cross over Maya? And that is answered by the next sage. So like this, Bhagavata Dharmam, the symptoms of a devotee, Maya, how to cross over the Maya, what is Brahman? Then what is Karmam? What is the pastimes? Avatara Leela. What is the pastimes of Krishna? What happens to those who do not take Krishna consciousness seriously? Who, in other words, who try to escape from this by their own logic and reasoning? And then finally, in this Kali Yugam, the ninth question was, in this Kali Yugam, is there a particular process of worship applicable to Kali Yugam? That is. So, like this, there are nine questions in this Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. Navayogi Nimi Samvadam. There are these nine questions, all come from Nimi, but answered by nine different sages. So, the first question was, what is Bhagavata Dharmam, isn't it? So, Bhagavata Dharmam is a big topic, and actually, if we go through this, it's an endless topic because Kavi Maharshi, who is the expert of all, has answered that. Why is he expert? Because he identifies the problem very well and says that manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujo basana matra nityam udigna bhukte asadalma bhaval vishwalmana yatra nivartade bhi. This is the first verse from Kavi. Manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujo basana matra nityam. Everyone in material life is always under two things, fear. Fear is generally classified into two groups, fear as well as anxiety. Anxiety about something or the other. That's also kind of fear, isn't it? Fear from various things. What all kinds of fear? Fear from death, fear from separation from the beloved, fear from losing the wealth or property or whatever he has acquired in this world, that fear. Fear due to loss of fame, or feeling being losing his prestige or whatever, things like that. So various kinds of fear exist in human mind, and this applies to everyone, no matter who it is. So this kind of fear exists in this material world. Therefore, that type of fear. And then the anxiety about what will happen tomorrow. So the different kinds of anxieties. So there it says, Mani kudaschil bhayam. If one has got manye kudaschila bhayam achyudasya badam bhujo vasane matra nityam manye agudaschil bhayam achyudasya, one who has got such a kind of fear, he has to do only one thing. Kavi Maharshi says here, achyuda badam bhujo vasana, that means serving one who does not fall, which is one who has no chudi. Chudi means to fall. One who has no fall, Chudi, he is Achyuta. సో అచ్యుతస్య పాదాంబుజో వాసన వన్ హూ టేక్స్ టు ద సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ హీ కెన్ ఎస్కేప్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ఫియర్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ లైఫ్ ఫియర్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ దట్స్ వాట్ హీ సేస్ హియర్ సో వి హావ్ సీన్ బిఫోర్ వేర్ డస్ ఫియర్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డస్ ఫియర్ కమ్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఫియర్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫ్యూ థింగ్స్ ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ ఇస్ దట్ వన్ ఐడెంటిఫైస్ విత్ వాట్ ఈస్ నాట్ truth in this world. One identifies with something which is not truth, which is not reality, asatyam. Asad, it is called asad. Asad means what is not true. Something which is not true, we identify with that, and there the problem starts. So our identification first is with the body, and that itself is a mistake, from where the problem starts. And then extended objects of the body, which means like the material objects, and relatives, friends, and society, country, and different kinds of things like that. So when we associate with all these things, naturally there has to fear has to develop, because all of these things what we are referring to are temporary. Because of its temporary nature, it's not bound to exist forever. So some point or the other they will have to go. Either we have to leave them or they will leave us. In one way or the other it will happen. So because it is like that, manye akodaschil bhayam achudasya padambujo upasanam atranityam, if that is understood, then one should not hanker after that too much. But knowing very well that they will leave us one day, or we will have to leave them one day, one way or the other it is going to bound to happen. In addition to that, what else happens is that yatāval tval pranīdā niha bhajane vidīnā sthidō moha mārge, that we also think that we are yena sarva atmanaiva, that this fear has come from where? That is what we have to look at first. First of all, it says here in this verse, uddhigna buddhe asadātma bhāval, asadātma bhāval. That is the problem. This asadātma bhāvam. Asadātma bhāvam means that a bhāvam or a mood which is not ātma bhāvam. Ātma bhāvam means spiritual nature. Identification with spirit or spiritual identity is ātma bhāvam. Asadātma bhāvam means whatever that is not ātma, whatever that is not the soul, if we identify asad. Asad means which is not sat, which is not truth. If you identify with that, with asad, then it is what is going to happen is asadātma bhāvād, that then bhayam will come, fear will come. So this verse is giving us a very clear point, telling us that so long as our identification is with the body, our identification is with the matter, we are meant to experience this fear. You cannot escape from that. No matter who it is in this world, anyone who identifies with the body or who identifies with matter has to experience this fear throughout his life, so long as he is in this bodily identity and bodily extensions. So we have discussed this before also, that this fear can only go when, and then how does this Identification starts like this. To think of things which are not permanent in this world as permanent. That is the first problem. For example, when we look at the external world, we think that this world is permanent, isn't it? Well, this world is permanent. That is due to what is known as Maya. Maya's effect is like that. To make us feel things which are not permanent is permanent. That feeling of eternity exists in this world. But you can also notice, as soon as you go to deep sleep state, this world doesn't exist. This world doesn't exist for us in the deep state, in the sleep. So from there you can conclude that only when your mind and senses are active in this creation, only at that time you think that this world is existing, which shows the nature of the world. In other words, it is based on our vision, that or the senses is reporting back to us, telling us that all these things exist. See, if you look at the world is not coming and telling us, I am existing here, does it?
World doesn't tell us. World is lying like that. So much in the creation exists like that, which we don't even know. But we are, because we are close to this earth planet and in a particular place, in a particular environment, we are taking it, this all is permanent. Similarly, there is so much in the creation which we do not even know, but some more and more information we get fed back by the scientists and others. Whatever it is, all these things do exist so long as we go after them and start identifying them. But the moment the mind and the senses do not get any connection with the external world, they don't exist for us. This is why in deep sleep state all these things don't exist. That shows clearly that our association with the and the fact that when you come out of the deep sleep you feel this happiness from sleep is also showing us the point that the relationship with matter is not always very pleasant. Because as long as you associate with matter, the matter only brings anxiety to us. So that's why it is said that martyasya artyasya manye vabasaradi bhayam, that as soon as we have attached with matter, then the next thing going to happen for us, all of us, is when we see the matter and we start associating with matter, first thing we think it is permanent, the matter is permanent. Second thing is the matter is good. For example, we feel in our own mind, that is the mind is doing that job. Mind tells us something is good, something is bad. This way it starts discriminating. And then third thing, what happens is, when something is, mind tells us something is good, then we want to acquire it or to get it. So this way in three steps this happens. And then the living entity gets affected by the anxiety. So manye kudaschil bhayam achudasya padambujo vasanam atranityam udigna buddhe asadalpabhaval vishualpana yatranivartade bhi. It is at that point that he can release himself from the fear when he understands this first thing and see vishualpana. Vishualpana means that spirit soul which is all pervading and present in the whole creation, which is actually the background of everything. It is because of the presence of the spirit inside this creation that this whole thing is functioning. We forget that point. That's where the mistake happens. See, just like when you are watching a movie on a screen, on the screen if you look, so many things are going on. Everything what is going through the roll, film roll, is projected onto the screen, isn't it? The screen will display everything. The fighting is going on, the different kinds of conversations and all sorts of love scenes, love making, everything, whatever you see in the screen, everything is going on the screen. We don't think about the screen, do we? We only look at what is projected on it. It's exactly the same case with us also. We project through the mind and the senses onto this world so many things. And we think this all as the reality. But strictly speaking, the scene is the only reality there. The other things are coming and going, isn't it? The scene is permanent, the screen is permanent, but all other activities from the film is actually coming and going. Depending on the way the projector and the film is created, those scenes are shown on the screen. But we don't think about the screen at all. We don't bother about the screen. The screen is the one which is staying permanent. Similarly, in this whole creation, what is permanent? Permanent is Krishna. Krishna is permanent. Krishna and Krishna's the super soul, who is present in everything, every living entity. And that is permanent. Not the all what we experience in this world. That is not permanent. That will come and that will go. Similarly, coming and going continuously. We take this coming and going as the most important thing and we go after that. We forget about that screen behind it, which is the soul, which is the spirit, spiritual nature. That's why it says there, Uddhigna buddhe asadalpa bhavad vishualpana. Vishualpana, that screen behind it, which is Krishna. Yatra nivartade bhi. Once you understood the screen, then you will know that this is a film going on. You can withdraw from this and watch this whole film for a long time, till your time is over, and then go away from here. Because behind it is the screen, that is what is matters. We don't worry about the screen. That is what in this Kavi Maharshi's answer, he begins like that. So, those who have understood this, those who have understood this. For them, they know which way to go further in life. Which way to go further in life. They do not anymore think about the film. Film is not important for them. And that is why from the beginning you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in several instances they will bring forward this point very strongly. Bhagavatam, while studying, one important point we have to keep in mind is that what is that Vedavyasa Maharshi is pointing out to us? If we simply take the stories alone, it is going to cause a lot of difficulties, because many times we will not understand we will try to logicize the stories and we will find it difficult. To give you an example, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Varaha appeared there, isn't it? Lord Varaha's appearance is in the third canto. When we see the pastimes of Lord Varaham, how the story happens is, Brahma created this planet, and later on, Swayambhuva Manu and Shadrupa were given responsibility to manage the earth planet. Swayambhuva Manu, when he came with Shadrupa Devi, they couldn't find the planet. Planet was gone missing. Hiranyaksha has pushed the planet underneath the water and it was staying there. They couldn't even find the planet. So Lord Brahma prays to Krishna because it's very nicely spoken in the Bhagavatam, those verses. If you look into third canto, you will see there that Lord Brahma says to Krishna that up to this point I have done what I have been told to do. What was that creation? I have started the creation. But there are certain things which is not in my scope of supply. Brahma says to Krishna. I cannot do anything about it. I am incapable. Guide me through what I have to do now. He says like that. In the Bhagavatam, you can see that those verses are there. In the third canto, if you look in the... it is in the third canto, chapter 30. Maitreya Maharshi says to Vidura what Brahma said.
Adhatra kim anushteyam asmabhi sargayojideihi yasyaham hridayadasam sa isho vidadhatume. Atra adhatra kim anushteyam. Whatever I have to do, I have done. Asmabhi sargayojideihi yasyaham hridayadasam sa isho vidadhatume.
I don't know what to do now. I am stuck here. Please show me and help me what I should do. What should I do now? This situation with Brahma happens to everyone of us in this world. At some point or the other in life, we get stuck at some point. We don't know what to do. So Maitreya Maharshi is saying, Brahma has done like this. When he got stuck in this life, what he should do next? All he could do was to look at Krishna and ask for help. And that is what is expected from every living entity. When we are really and genuinely stuck with an issue in this world, particularly with the spiritual life, you have to look up to Krishna to guide you further from there. That is the point Brahma is making there. So accordingly, Brahma prayed like that to Krishna, and then Krishna came as Varaham. The boar incarnation happened. So when the boar incarnation happened, it looks very strange that Krishna has to take the shape of a boar, isn't it? To take the shape of a boar. Boar is generally considered to be not a very pleasant animal, isn't it? It's not a very pleasant animal in appearance or in any other way. And when there are so many beautiful forms in this world, why Krishna had to take the form of a boar? Isn't it? That question will come. Why is that a boar incarnation was necessary? Boar incarnation was necessary because, first of all, the way the boar brought back that earth planet from underneath the water. But you will notice something more interesting there, that those who understood that boar incarnation start glorifying the boar. I don't know whether you have noticed that. In the Bhagavatam, when you study third canto, you have to remember these things. That the sages came over, they looked at the boar, and they understood that this boar incarnation has a reason for that. Ordinarily, a boar is not a very pleasing figure or pleasing form. And why has Krishna gone and taken that form, the form of a boar?
So there, in answer to that, the understanding is this, that when the sages came, they addressed the boar. Boar itself is a very Nikrishta Jeevi. Nikrishta means it's a very low class animal. But the sages has given a position to that boar called Yajnavaraham. Yajnavaraham. Yajnavaraham means they saw the boar as though the boar is a representation of sacrifices in the Vedic literature, Karmakandam. So you can imagine that the sages had the much more subtle vision than us. We don't have that vision. Our vision is always so gross that we can't understand such things. And when even we want everything black and white in our eyes to see clearly that this is all correct. We want to verify and check like this. But unfortunately, in the Vedic literature, things are spoken in such a way only with the help of the personalities who had that great vision to see things properly. They were able to identify what a boar is. A boar, they saw it as Yajnavaraham. Yajnavaraham means Varaha incarnation to support the Yajnam or sacrifices in the Vedic literature, Karmakandam. Why they address like that? And then they see the four legs, so the four, two arms and the two legs, the four supporting ones as the four Khodava, Hrithvik, Adhuryu, Brahman. They are the four karmis, or the people who execute the sacrifices. That is them. Those four have been given as the four legs of the boar. You see? And then they saw everything in the boar's body, because they were able to see from that body why Krishna took this form. They were immediately able to come up with an answer. That is the intelligence, not intelligence, the vision of these great sages. That is the vision of the great sages. That just by looking at the boar, they were able to say that this is, for this reason, Krishna has taken this form. And their whole prayers of glorification of Varaha Murti is called Yajna Varaha Stuti. Completely in relationship with sacrifices, is glorified. Completely in relation with sacrifices, is glorified. So, normally, everything has a stulam. Stulam means a gross side. And everything also has got a sushmam, or a very subtle side. It is the subtle side that is more important, not the gross side. We shouldn't give too much importance to the gross side. In the early stages, we will always think about the gross side. In Bhagavatam also, that when we study Bhagavatam also, our nature will be like that. To always see the gross things and take pleasure in that. There's nothing wrong in that. It is through gross things you come to the subtle. So first of all, you have to go through the gross part of it. But if you don't take the subtle side of it, then Bhagavatam has not been fully understood. The full subtle side of the Bhagavatam is not fully understood. So everything has a subtle aspect. Throughout Bhagavatam you will find in every pastimes, in every instructions, every glorification, you will find there is a subtle aspect of that. And that subtle aspect is very, very important, because Vedavyasa Maharshi is trying to tell us something. And because of our capturing power is poor, he has managed to bring it through the Puranas, through the history in this way, so that it eventually it will hit us. Eventually it will come to us. So through the pastimes of boar incarnation, that is what was spoken. So like this, there are so many other places also you will see the same thing. Anyway, coming back to this Kavi Maharshi, Kavi, what is Kavi means? Kavi. Prior to that, we have seen, yes, last Sunday, that the that how important it is that this lifetime given to us is utilized for the right purpose. That is the first message in the second chapter. The life is not meant for anything else except for realizing the self. That is the first priority. We may have difference of opinion with others about what happens after realization. Whether we go to Golokam, we go to Kailasam, or we go to Vaikuntham, or we go somewhere else. Pitralokam, or Padalalokam, or Yamalokam, wherever it is. That is another thing. That is after death and after what happens. But in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the main message is that this first thing too is to realize the self, one's own self, what I am. If I don't know what I am, what is the point in me searching around the whole world? What is the truth? When I don't know myself, what I am first? What's the point in searching after everything else? So it is in that connection we have seen that we have lost that point. And as long as we don't come back to that point, our search will also be a waste of time. It will carry on in a very meaningless way, aimless manner. We will be carrying on with life. So it is in that relationship it is said that this Brahman has to go. Brahman means this feeling that it is something outside I have to find. But the thing what you are looking for is actually inside. Krishna's part and parcel is inside. So the search has to go back, go inwards, not out externally. External search won't bring the answer. So that is Brahman. Brahman is like that. So Acharyas have given that the finest first thing to begin this process is satsangam. Salsangam. Salsangam means association with pure devotees of Krishna. That is salsangam. So, salsangatve nisangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischaladatvam, nischaladatve jivan mukti. That is the steps which happens. First by salsangam, by association. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, many things have been spoken. What all spoken? Bhagavatam speaks about Vedanta philosophy. In Ekadasham, there is Vedantam discussed. Bhagavatam talks about chanting the holy name a lot. Many places, the chanting of holy name is spoken. Then, what else Bhagavatam talks about? Bhagavatam talks about the different pastimes of Krishna. Isn't it? Supreme Personality of Godhead, under different incarnations and their pastimes. And the devotees' realizations. So many things are spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If somebody asks, what is the most important thing and what is the most important aspect of Krishna consciousness Bhagavatam is stressing about, what will be the answer? The answer to that question is association with great souls. That is the main answer in the Bhagavatam. It will repeat it in so many instances, and Krishna hammers it to Uddhava all the time that association with great souls is the most important thing. Most important thing. It is the easiest process. Why? Because by salsangam, what happens is, salsangatve nisangatvam. Then our present situation is that we have so much attachment to everything in this world. And we don't even know about it because the attachment is so deep rooted. And somehow or the other, the deep rooted attachment is keeping us entangled in the material life. Material life. We are not able to break it. We are not able to detach ourselves from that. But due to association with great souls, what will happen is they will always talk about the importance of escaping from this attachment. That is salsangam. Salsangatve nisangatvam. Nisangatvam will come. Nisangatvam means a certain degree of detachment from this world. And we start realizing that I had unnecessarily kept attachment for various things which I should have thrown away from this world long before. Because it is not possible to keep deeply attached to the world and at the same time to execute spiritual life. That's not possible. So that's why it said, salsangatve nisangatvam. Then what happened? Nisangatve nirmohatvam. Nisangata means nisangatvam will teach us the temporary nature of the material world. Temporary nature of the material world. Just like I said before, that fear has come to us because of what? Attachment to the matter, to the material life and material world. That will go away first thing, due to association, salsangam. And after that, what will happen? Nisangada will come. Nisangada means a certain degree of detachment from the material world. That will automatically develop. In a natural way, it will come. Because that is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. When you hear Bhagavatam from the from devotees, you will get that experience that after all I have loved so many things in this world. Is that my goal of life at the end? This thought will naturally develop. Nisangatve nirmohatvam nirmohana. Mohana means you will be able to renounce things. Things what you said thought was important, you may not think anymore as important. Things will happen in its own way in this world. We don't have to be so concerned about the future of the world. That's the first thing. The Creator who has created this world, He also knows how to take care of it. At least, let's not get involved in that. That's not necessary. This is Krishna consciousness. Because if we start thinking that Krishna has asked me to maintain this world and look after that, then we won't have any time to know what we are. We'll be busy with maintaining this world. So, satsangatve nisangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam. And when nirmohatvam comes, when we free ourselves, our mind gets freed from our attachment and vairagyam builds up, the mind will not waver anymore. The main reason for the mind to cause on or to keep on all the time getting disturbed is due to association with matter. If you have learned how to leave it, things, then the mind will be stable and steady. And nirmohatve nischala tattvam, that nischala, nischala means not anymore fluctuating, always in a stable state of mind. And once that happens, nischala tattve jivan mukti, that when nischala tattvam happens, he already gets liberated. Jivan mukti comes to him, he gets liberated. Because that means the mind has come under control. Mind is not dictating to him anymore anything. This is the important point there. So here, you will see there that our actual problem is something different than all these things. These are not the problems of this. These problems have come to us because due to our association with matter. But that has to be, that has to change. This is what it is saying here. So in the Bhagavatam, while referring to that, it says there, Bhidirnama dvidiyal bhavadinanumanam kalpidanja dvidiyam tene kabhya sashilo hadayam ihayada shakti buddhva nirundhyam. That what happens is, bhayam dvidiya abhinivesha dasyal. That is how Bhagavatam puts it. This fear has come from where? From duality. From duality. So duality means fear. You have to be fearful always if there is duality. Duality means, you know what it means. Duality means to seeing everything separate, separate, separate. Just like in the world we find there is two, boy and girl, happiness and distress, heat and cold, day and night, young and old. Like this in everything you will find some duality, opposing elements existing. Opposing in the sense, those two things give us two different experiences in this world. Two different experiences in this world. So, there we say that if you look at the Bhagavatam, you will see there, Bhayam didiya abhinivesha dasyal. Then, abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means kind of attachment to this matter, this duality. That is what, because we are not seeing the truth behind it. Only the duality is experienced by us all the time. So what will happen in that situation is, when didiyam, like you see such a powerful personality like Hiranyakashipu, even why was he frightened about? What was he frightened about? Because he was not aware of the presence of the soul behind everything. He was saying that Vishnu is my enemy and somebody else is my enemy. So he went and conquered everybody, including Vishnu he wanted to conquer. So dvidiyam, this is the nature, this dvaidam or dvidiya abhinivesham, that is what is causing this bhayam, it says in the Bhagavatam. Bhayam dvidiyal abhinivesadasyal ishadavedasya vibaryayo smriti. When one forgets one original identity as spirit soul, the result of that is that he will start building up all these fears in his mind for coming from duality. That is what has to go, it says here. Tanmayayato mudama bhajetam bhattegayesham guru devadalma. It has to go, otherwise, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this will have to go, this dvaidam or dvidiya abhinivesham. Bhayam dvidiya abhinivesadasyal. Now, when one has taken to Krishna consciousness or Krishna consciousness, what happens? Does it mean that straight away it goes? It goes, but it goes gradually. It doesn't go away, goes away in one thought, in straight away. It takes its own time. That's why that when one continues to execute Krishna consciousness, at some point this fear will start losing. The fear will start going away. For one reason only, that just like normally we take a medicine and afterwards the medicine goes in, and then when after some time the illness get cured, isn't it? The illness get cured. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. As much as Krishna consciousness goes in, the fear level starts going down. This is the symptom of that proper Krishna consciousness. If one is getting more fearful after becoming Krishna consciousness, becoming Krishna conscious, in other words, then that is not proper symptom of Krishna consciousness. That is a wrong understanding of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that fear has to go away. Why the fear comes? Because of identification with the body. Now, when the identification of the body goes away, and when one becomes more and more conscious of the spiritual identity, the attachment for the body goes away. So even when illnesses come, one should be able to accept it in that way. To that degree, many, many great spiritual personalities, they never even cared for their body. That you know from the history. Many, many times this has been spoken about. But ordinary people who do not know the consciousness of that great personality thinks that, oh, he has executed spiritual life, look at his condition now. And we start lamenting about him. He may not be experiencing anything, but we, because of our bodily identity, we impose this on him and start thinking, oh, he is suffering. You see, look at him. He has been chanting Hare Krishna whole lifetime, and look at his death, how he is suffering. Now, what does he get out of this? This way we tend to make analysis of that. But that is not correct, because we do not know what he is experiencing and what he is not experiencing. That is unknown to us. We start wrongly superimpose our own ideas on him and start thinking that that is what his situation is. That is the mistake we do. So, bhayam didiya abhiniveshadasyal ishadame edasya vibhayayo smriti. That vibhayayo smriti, that opposite thing has to go from our mind. And that happens in a way. And similarly, the fear of death also has to go away from us. And that is what the 7 days of Parikshit Maharaj hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what has happened to him. That he escaped from the fear of death. And that you can see at the very last words what Parikshit has spoken to Sudev Goswami. Sudev Goswami wanted an answer from Parikshit, a proper answer, and he got that answer. Answer was this, that I am not frightened of death anymore. 7 days ago, he was frightened that death is going to come. I have no... 7 days ago, when Srimad Bhagavatam was going to begin, prior to that, what was Parikshit's condition? Parikshit's condition was that I got only 7 days time, what will happen to me after death? But when Sudev Goswami was leaving him, what was the situation? Sudev Goswami asked Parikshit, have you got any more questions? Parikshit's answer was that I have no more questions to ask because I know I don't die. That was his first mistake. Was he thought he was going to die in seven days time. But just before Sudev Goswami's departure, Parikshit says to him, I realize now that I don't die. Once you have realized that I don't die, that means he has self-realized. What does it matter? So, strictly speaking, that when we are thinking about the problems of this world, actually, every spiritual personality has to encounter this problem. People, they come to him and ask this question. What about all the problems of this world? We have got poverty. We have got malnutrition. We have environmental problems. We have got overpopulation. We have got this. We have got that. You're not telling us what we should do about it. The answer to all these questions is one. You realize the self. If you realize the self, all problems are gone with that. Because these problems is existing because all the people involved in the problem are in the bodily concept of life. They are identified with the body, and with the result of that, they have all these problems also going along. But the moment one comes out of it, the person who is self-realized, he doesn't think there is any more problem in this world. This is the beauty of self-realization. Otherwise, in this world, many, many great personalities had come and try to change the world and make this a place of happiness and free from problems. But so far it hasn't happened, and in doubtful very much whether it will happen in the future either. So you know very well that the solution to the problem is inside, not outside. If every living entity is given instructions on this, that is what you find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every time, every great devotee talks about only one thing, about self-realization. Realizing the self. That is the first priority. If that is done, all other problems are automatically solved, because in the realized state, all these things are not problems. They have come from due to ignorance, due to Maya. They are in the Maya's grip, and in the grip of Maya one has to suffer, but due to his own attachment to the matter. So that's the way it is. So here, great souls in the Bhagavatam, there are so many examples in the Bhagavatam, especially one of the most important personalities, Markandeya Maharshi. If you know, in the 12th canto, we'll be discussing Markandeya Maharshi's story in detail. But very briefly, Markandeya Maharshi, he was the son of Mrikandu. That's why he was called Markandeya. He had some other name before. Mrikandu's son is Markandeya. So this Markandeya Maharshi, at a very early age in life, he was a very brilliant personality, but at the same time, a great sage. He, somehow or the other, he had a very short span of life. So, result was that, at the, I think it was the 16th birthday or something, or 12th birthday, I can't remember, one of the birthdays, his mother realized that that was the last birthday. She was going to serve him food. And while serving the food, from her eyes, two drops of tears fell on into the leaf. And Markandeya Maharshi looked at his mother and asked what was the cause of her distress. And she said to him that, thinking that this will be the last time I'll be serving you this feast, I feel great distress in myself. Markandeya Maharshi, as soon as the meal was over, he went up to Krishna, to Navamukunda Kshetram he went into, and took shelter of Krishna. It is explained, discussed about that. It's a very important pastime of Markandeya Maharshi. Tam chainam bhakti yogam dradaidumayime sadhyam aryogyam ayuhu. Tam chainam bhakti yogam. Markandeya Maharshi took Krishna's lotus feet. Very strongly he held on to that and said, dradaidumayime sadhyam aryogyam ayuhu. What do you want? Krishna asked Markandeya. Markandeya said, I want aryogyam ayuhu. I want health and I want a long span of life. Dishtva tatra abhisevyam tava charanamaho veshaja ayeva dugdham. When he said like that, just like how that Krishna says that take to this process seriously and become Krishna conscious. If you become Krishna conscious, will you escape from death? The answer is, Dishtva tatra abhisevyam tava charanamaho veshaja ayeva dugdham. Just like when a child is sick, he got some sickness in his stomach. So the doctor came and said, don't give him any heavy food, particularly don't give milk or full fat milk or semi-skimmed or whatever that is. Don't give any of that, he said to the mother. So mother stopped giving him milk, and for the treatment continued for quite some time because he had some problem in the stomach, and the treatment lasted a long time. The child wanted to have some milk. Child couldn't get any. Child had some attachment for drinking milk. So, one day when the doctor came, the child went up to him, to the doctor, and said to the doctor, doctor, I want to drink some milk. It's a long time I had some milk. Child had some faith in the milk somehow. So the doctor said, let me think about it, he said, and child went away. So when the mother came, the doctor discussed with the mother and told the mother that I think now he looks a lot better, you can start giving him some milk now onwards. So the mother, what she did was, in the evening when the child, after playing around a lot and came back, the mother gave some milk to the child. So generally the child won't even look at the medicine, he didn't want to take it, he had so much hesitation, so he closed his eyes and takes it. So when this time she gave this milk, the child took it happily, and the child asked the mother, has the doctor changed my medicine or what? So the mother said, no, you can take this milk from now on. And along with that, he started getting back his strength also. So similarly, in Markandeya's case, dishtva tatra abhisevyam tava charanamaho veshaja ayeva dugdham, that when he started his service to Krishna or Krishna consciousness, Dishtva tatra visevyam tava charanamaho veshaja eva dugdham.
Just like the doctor has given the medicine, this prescribed medicine, Krishna's medicine of Krishna consciousness to Markandeya, started working. As much as Markandeya started becoming serious in his Krishna consciousness, his fear of death also started going away from him. That's what it is said like that. That this fear, Krishna consciousness process is like that. If one is really advancing in spiritual life, automatically that fear of material life also keeps going away. And all other different kinds of fear that constantly attacks a person also goes away. It has to go. That is why it is spoken like that.
Dishtva tatra visevyam tava charanamaho veshaja eva dugdham.
That doctor's medicine to the child, that keep taking the medicine, this milk, you will start getting your strength back and you will also get recovered from this problem of the illness. So here what has happened is, the doctor is suggesting, he wanted milk, so the milk has come as medicine itself here, isn't it? Milk has come as medicine. Doctor wanted him to take the milk now, because he realized that milk is what he needs now as the medicine to get back to his strength. So there, as much as the milk has become the important thing for him to recover from his illness, Krishna consciousness makes a person in the same way. It slowly takes away from material existence and brings him, in other words, just like milk is the one what the child wanted, similarly that personality who is trying to free himself from death, for him the medicine is Krishna consciousness.
Dishtva tatra visevyam tava charanamaho veshaja eva dugdham. Markandeyehi purvam ganaganigadida dvadashadhyaye ruchai sevitva valsaram tvam taupada nivahadhravaya masamrutyam.
In that process, what happened to Markandeya? Markandeya continued his Krishna consciousness so seriously that he could not be touched by Andhaga. Andhaga means one who puts an end to everyone's life, Kalan, or time personified, the death personified, you can call it. He tried to attack him. Krishna instructed him to go to Shiva, and Shiva had to kill the time personified. And that's how Markandeya was saved. So this Markandeya, later on you will see in the Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, Markandeya's penances. He wanted to see what is Maya, and Naranarayana Rishi comes on the scene. All that you will see in the 12th canto. We'll discuss that later when it comes to that. So basically, Markandeya Maharshi escaped from death by practicing Krishna consciousness. This is one of the finest examples in the Bhagavatam, that he was able to free himself from death and free from fear. Death is the greatest fear for all the living entities. Our main fear is death, isn't it? And it is only to protect us from death that we are engaging in all these different activities also. So similarly, in the history you will notice there were so many personalities who have done this. They have realized what is the process, how to get out of this fearful existence. Vilumangalam, what did Vilumangalam do? Once it so happened, in Nila River, on the banks of Nila River, Vilumangalam was sitting there with Krishna. Krishna was sitting with Vilumangalam. Krishna was sitting on Vilumangalam's lap, and Krishna was talking to Vilumangalam. A few yards away from there, some people have brought a dead body there, and they were burning the dead body. After burning the dead body, they will immerse the remnants, ashes, everything in the river, and they were going away from there. So Krishna observed that and said to Vilumangalam, Swamiji, are you not frightened when you see this, that you are going to die one day like this, and you are going to be burned like this, your body is going to be burned like this? And after burning, what will they do? They will throw all your ashes and the bones or whatever it is in the river, and all your so-called relatives will go away, walk away from there. They think they have completed their part and they'll go. You're not frightened about it. Vilumangalam looked at Krishna and smiled. And there is verse in the Krishna Karanamritam, Vilumangalam's answer to Krishna. Vilumangalam says to Krishna like this. He says to Krishna, Devaki tanaya pujana bhuta. With these hands,
in all my life, I have worshipped one personality, he says. Who? Devaki Dhaneya, Devaki's son. I have worshipped Devaki's son with this hand in all my life. Pujana Pudha. I have worshipped him all my life with these hands, he says to Krishna. Vilumangalam says this to Krishna. Pudanari Charanodagadhaudha. Pudanari, who is Pudanari? Pudana's enemy is Krishna. I have taken the Charanamritam from Krishna's lotus feet. I have taken that all my life. Then what else? Yadyaham Smriti Dhananjaya Sudha. There was once a person who went to battlefield, threw away all his arms and weapons and said that I am not going to fight. But someone went up to him and told him that you have to fight, and you made him to fight. Not only that, Yadyaham Smriti Dhananjaya Sudha. And how he was hesitating to fight, and the very same person took up the arm and fought throughout the war. And I know who it is, he said. Kim Karishadi Same Yama Duda. What can Yama's representatives do to me at the time of death? To say this to Krishna, how much courage, how much realization he has to have. To stand in front of Krishna and to say to Krishna, Yadyaham Smriti Dhananjaya Sudha Kim Karishyati Same Yamadudha. What will Yamadudha do to me at the time of death? At the time of leaving the body, what can they do to me? This is what Vilumangalam said to Krishna. It is in the Krishna Karnamatam, this verse. Devaki Dhaneya Pujana Pudha Pudanari Charano Dagadhaudha Yadyaham Smriti Dhananjaya Sudha Kim Karishyati Same Yamadudha. What can Yamadudha do to me? He says to him. So these devotees are those personalities who have practiced Krishna consciousness and have come to that stage of realization. They are not like ordinary people. In the process of bhakti, generally what happens to us is we execute sadhana bhakti first, isn't it? So sadhana bhakti is all of us, what we are executing now is sadhana bhakti. And this sadhana bhakti, when it comes to a mature state, Krishna gives us that realization. What is knowledge? Spiritual knowledge. Knowledge comes to us. It is after receiving that knowledge, the devotion, what we come from there, is called parabhakti, the pure devotion. Pure devotion comes after that stage. So initially our bhakti is sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means executed under instructions from the spiritual master or from the shastram. It is based on injunctions. But this leads into a stage. You will see in the Bhagavatam in several places this sequence happening. Even among the gopis this has happened. Even among the gopis. Gopis in the Gopiya Gita, there is a verse there where gopi says, Akhila dehinam andaral padre vikhana sartido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeiva and sattvadam kule. Gopis are saying, gopis have realized at this point, Akhila dehinam andaral padre. Normally gopis don't use such language, do they? Gopis' relationship with Krishna is on a different level altogether. But here you find in Gopiya Gita this one verse, where gopis are saying to Krishna, Akhila Dehinam Andar Atma Drik. It means, Akhila Dehina means in all living entities, Andar Atma Drik. Andar Atma means the soul inside, who is Drik, who is seeing everything. Who is seeing everything, the super soul, who is present in everything. And that's you. Gopis have realized that. And they were able to say that. Normally gopis won't speak in that way. You will not find that in the Gopiya Gita anywhere. Used like that. So, Akhila Dehinam Andara Almadra Vikana Sartido Vishwaguptaye Sakhamudeivan Sattvadam Kulem. So, gopis have spoken in that way because gopis also have come to that stage. And from then onwards, gopis' mood was different. You can see there also that initially they came to Krishna with various desires. They saw Krishna as their loving object. And also they had a lot of difficulties in their relationship in the beginning. But all that has gone when they came to this understanding that Krishna is the supreme super soul situated in everyone's heart. That relationship has grown from that. That's why in the Bhagavatam you will find there that ശൃണ്വൻ സുഭദ്രാണി രഥാംഗവാണിർ ജന്മാനി കർമാഞ്ജയാണി ലോകേ ഗീതാനി നാമാനി തദർത്ഥകാനി ഗായൻ വിലജോ വിചരേത് അസംഗാഹ.
That by hearing about Krishna, that is what the gopis were always doing. They were talking about Krishna.
Shunvan subhadrani radhangavani janmani karmani jayani loge.
That Krishna's activities, that was there Srimad Bhagavatam. Gopis were also studying Bhagavatam. That's not different. Like if you think that Sukadeva Goswami is sitting with a book like this in front of Parikshit and reading from Bhagavatam, it was not so. Sukadeva Goswami came and sat there and started speaking. Whatever that has come to him, that was Bhagavatam. Whatever he has spoken, that is Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam, this book has come only much later in the form of a book where we have to buy, study it, analyze it and criticize it. That's all now. But in the past, in Sudeva Goswami's time, it was not like that. Sudeva Goswami came and sat down and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is whatever has come to his realizations, what has come to him, he just spoke. That's what Parikshit heard. And here you will see that Shundan Gopis also the same thing. They were also discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. You must never think that Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years ago for us. Bhagavatam has been existing eternally ever since Krishna was existing. Only thing was, for the age of Kali, for people like us, seeing our pathetic condition, Vedavyasa Maharshi took pity on us and compiled this and gave it to us in this form. That's all it is. But otherwise, Srimad Bhagavatam existed since Krishna existed. Krishna's activities are such, wherever Krishna's activities are spoken and discussed, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's activities. Krishna, anything related to Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here we see now, that Shrunen Subhadrang Gangavani Janmani Karma Ani Jaya Ani Logem. More and more one practices Krishna consciousness, what happens to him? He gets closer and closer to Krishna. Along with that, the fear also goes away from him. If you remember in the first canto of Bhagavatam, what it says? It says there like that, that the fear, death personified, is yad bibhedi bhayam swayam, yad bibhedi bhayam swayam. The fear personified itself leaves you and goes away because of the Krishna consciousness. That is the most important thing. And you also seen there that the that chayeva karma sajivaha, that this can only happen with Krishna, nobody else. Krishna is capable of doing this. That by becoming Krishna conscious, one can free oneself from this fear of death. From no other way, it is possible. So, chayeva karma sajiva sadhavo dina valsalaha. And in the Bhagavatam, in reference to that, there is a story of a great king, Katvanga. Katvanga went to heavenly planets to assist the demigods in the war. He was a powerful personality, like Dasharatha. In the Solar dynasty, he was a king before Dasharatha. So, Katvanga went there and helped the demigods. While leaving, the demigods asked him what kind of boon are you looking for? What boon do you want? He said. What boon do you want? So Katvanga's answer to that was that immortality is what I'm looking for. Immortality, I don't want to die. So it was at that time the demigod said to him that is not, cannot be offered here. We are not capable of doing that. Fear from freedom from death, that's not possible, he said. So at that time Katvanga says to them that if you can't offer that, then what is the point in serving you? If you can't offer that, what is the point in serving you? And then the demigod says to him that we have certain limitations. And in the Bhagavatam, while referring to that, he says here that this fear that has come to us
this fear that has come to us
is purely because of the fear of death. Fear of death that is enveloping us. So at that time, Katvanga answered in a very nice way to them. Katvanga's answer was, that what can you offer me then? They say to him, you are very, very tired. You should go and rest. So we'll give you this boon that you can go and sleep very well for a long period of time. Katvanga says, for that I don't need your mercy. I can get so many tablets available in the medical shops in the world. Or even if you can't get it, just here Srimad Bhagavatam will get good sleep. And you can go to sleep with that. Because that's what helps us, isn't it? To get to sleep. Easily. We get when you take to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the kind of mercy or boons that demigods are capable of offering. Chayeva karma sajivaha sadhavo dinavalsalaha. So here you'll find there that this kind of things are rejected in the Kavi Maharshi's words. Kavi Maharshi did not want to discuss these things with him. So therefore an example of Katvanga was spoken there. Katvanga's example was given there. Hrade kaivalya madhyana, that is what he says there. That do you require Indra's permission for this to go and sleep very well? We don't need that. That's what he said like that at that point. So, so anyway, coming back to this Srimad Bhagavatam, these prayer, these instructions from Kavi Maharshi. We have seen that Kavi, the first personality who answered, he said like this, that unless this fear goes away, and the fear can only go away when one realizes one's own identity, isn't it? One's own identity. What when we say that manye akutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambuja obhasana matra nityam. By serving Krishna's lotus feet, what happens to us? Uddhikna bhugni asadalpma bhaval. Asadalpma bhavam will go. That means our connection, what is false or not truth, we will give up that connection. And uddhikna vishwayapana yatra nivartha devi. That is what will free ourselves from the fear. Krishna says, the Kavi Maharshi says like that. So, all these things in the Bhagavatam is pointing us out to one thing only. What is that? Kshanardo bisal sanga sheva dhir nranam. That somehow or the other, due to association with or salsangam. Association with due to association with matter, we are always falling into this fearful material existence. In order to free oneself from that, first thing what we have to do is to find out what is the truth behind it. What is the truth behind it? And when you find out what is the truth behind it, you will realize that all this anxiety has come up from the material body. Identification with the body, identification with the mind, identification with the intelligence, and identification with the false ego. When these three, four things are being identified by us as we, then we have to experience this. So, when we come out of this, what is the basis in all these things? Just like I mentioned about that screen. Once you know that screen, the screen is not affected by what film is coming on the, is what film is shown on the screen, isn't it? Screen is not affected. Similarly, the soul also, our soul, which is the universally, the part and parcel of Krishna, that is Krishna, Krishna and his part and parcels together, they are not affected by any of these things. They are not affected by any of these things. As soon as we have come to that realization, then there will be no more fear. That is the important thing to remember. So till we come to that point, we have to be fearful. Vidirnam adyudiyal bhavadinanimanam kalpidanja adyudiyam తేనైకభ్యాసశీలో హృదయమిహయద శక్తి బుద్ధ్వా నిరుంధ్యం. సో వాట్ హ్యాపెన్స్ ఇస్ ఫ్రమ్ డ్యువాలిటీ కేమ్ దిస్ ఫియర్. విదిర్నామ ద్వితీయాల్ భవతి బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ఫ్రమ్ డ్యువాలిటీ కేమ్ దిస్ ఫియర్. వాట్ ఈస్ ద డ్యువాలిటీ? డ్యువాలిటీ ఇస్ ఐఎమ్ సెపరేట్, దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ సెపరేట్, అండ్ ఐఎమ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, ఐఎమ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, ఐఎమ్ కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ వేస్. ఆల్దో ఐ హావ్ నథింగ్ టు డూ విత్ ది మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, material life or matter, nothing to do with me, my real identity. But due to bodily identification, we have developed certain connection with the material world, certain attachment to the material world. So when we comes out of this, maya vidhedu dasmin punarabinadatham bhadi mayadinatham tatvam bhaktya mahatyam sadadamani bhajam ishabhidim vijahyam. Then when we maya vidhedu dasmin, how come this has developed in this way, this connection with the matter, material world? Because of maya. Maya vidhedu tasmin. And when one is able to free oneself from that maya, punaravinadatham bhadi mayadinatham, by Krishna's mercy, by, when we serve Krishna, by Krishna consciousness, one can free oneself from this clutches of maya. Tatvam bhaktyam mahatyam sadadamanimajam ishabhidim vijahyam. And then through bhakti, through devotion, when one advances in Krishna consciousness, you will see there at the end what will happen. Ishabhidim vijahyam. I will free oneself from that fear. So all the devotees have spoken this in the past, that they had fear when they started their Krishna conscious process. They also had fear, like us. They are, what will happen? Suppose if I take to Krishna consciousness, who will provide my food? Suppose if I take to Krishna consciousness, what will happen to my family? What will happen to my friends? What will happen to my society? What will happen to all my relatives? Will they reject me if I become Krishna conscious? And they will reject you. That's also a fact. That, but as long as we think that that is all the real ones in this world, the friendship, society, love, relationships and all that, then it is a bit difficult to get out of it. It is a question of accepting the truth. Then that's what Krishna is saying here. That nishabhidim vichakhyam. So therefore, bhakte erulpati vriddhi samacharana jusham sangamena iva pumsam masadye punya bhajam shriyava jagadam srimadam sangamenaha. By associate, how will bhakti develop? Bhakti will develop bhakte erulpati vriddhi samacharana jusham. Our attachment for Krishna's lotus feet will increase. How? Masadye punya bhajam shriyava jagadam srimadam sangamena. Simply by associating with great devotees. That is how one's bhakti will increase. Not otherwise. The easiest process, Bhagavatam says, is by association with devotees. So, in order to, when we say association with devotees, this is also a question, isn't it? So, association with devotees means that it may not be always possible to have that association in that level, what one requires. So this is why Srimad Bhagavatam was given to us for this reason. In Bhagavatam also, what do you see? You see great devotees talking about Krishna, isn't it? Tval sango deva bhuyan mama ghalu sadadam tvan mukhad unmishadvi tvan mahalmya prakarer bhavadija sudhada bhakti udhuda bhava. What will happen is, bhakte erulpati vriddhi. Bhakti is something which has to grow inside. How will bhakti grow? Tal sango deva bhuyan mama khalu satadam. All the time hearing about Krishna. That is how bhakti will increase from devotees. Tal sango deva bhuyan mama khalu satadam. Satadam, always hearing about Krishna. Tun mughad unmishad bhittun mahalme pragarehi. From whom should you hear? That those who have taken Krishna completely in their heart and who are thinking about Krishna, that they have absorbed Krishna so much into their mind that every time you talk to them, Krishna's glories are spoken at that point. Krishna's glories are spoken at that point. There are so many great, great personalities on Srimad Bhagavatam who, through Bhagavatam, they have changed people. They have changed people. Because the
personalities who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam were such great souls that simply by hearing them, one automatically free oneself from the material life. Oneself from the, we get released from this material conditioned life. Many, many years ago, not long ago, about 50, 60 years ago, a Brahmana came to a temple and he had great attachment for wealth. All Brahmanas don't take it that they are free from this attachment for wealth. There are Brahmanas who are very attached to wealth also. So this Brahmana, it somehow or the other it happened to him that he was very, very, very attached to money. Very attached to money. So naturally, he had, at those days, the banks didn't exist like the way these days. The only difference is those Brahmanas are gone. New Brahmanas have started making money in a different way. That's all, it's changed. The process is going on in the same way. So that Brahmana, he decided to open a bank. In those days, there was no banks like, big banks like today. The smaller banks existed in the villages. So he lived near a temple, but he was very busy with his banking business. Somehow or the other, it so happened to him that in a very short period of time, he became very wealthy due to this banking business. People used to come to him and pawn their gold and take money from him. He used to charge a very high interest out to them. I think he was charging less than what Barclays and others are charging now. At least he was still better than today's bankers. Anyway, he did all that, and he carried on for a long period of time. A long period in his life he spent like this. So probably about 20, 25 years he spent like this. And this poor Brahmana, imagine, he had no time during the day. He was so busy. He couldn't go into the temple. He lived next to the temple, but he had no time to go to the temple. He was so busy in his transactions. So throughout the day, he had customers, and they'll come to him. And they will demand so many things, and sorting them out. He had limited trust in the family members to do it properly. All kind of things. Anyway, plus the money was coming. He was making a lot of money from that. Naturally, he was inclined that way. And when the money was being made, he started purchasing the properties all around the temple. He started doing this, buying the properties. And more or less in a short period of time, most of the properties around the temple belonged to him. But he hasn't gone into the temple once till now. He was so busy making money. And he had a schedule like this. He will bathe in the temple tank. What time do you know? About 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the time when he's a bit free from his business. So 2 o'clock he'll go and bathe in the tank. By that time temple is closed. About 1:30 the temple is closed latest. So he'll bathe in the tank, come back, have a good meal at home, and then rest for a while, and then continue with his transactions in the afternoon. Once it so happened, he was going to bathe in the tank from after his closing the business in the morning session. He's going to bathe in the tank. The temple door was lying open, which was normally closed. So he looked, out of curiosity, he looked inside. And there he heard a lot of people together sitting and listening to something. And they were listening to something and they were laughing by hearing whatever they were hearing. So he just peeped in and had a look and then went away. Didn't bother too much. Just looked in and he saw people were laughing something and he didn't think too much serious about it. Didn't take notice of it. Went away. Next day also same time, when he came that way, he heard the same large number of people there. They were listening to Srimad Bhagavatam there. So he thought that there must be something fun going on there. Let me go and hear what is being discussed there. So he just went in. When he went there, he saw a large number of people very seriously listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. And the great devotee was speaking from Bhagavatam at that time. When he heard that day, when he went to bathe in the tank, his mind was already affected. He started thinking that whatever he heard, I don't know what he heard at that time, whatever he heard had an impact on his mind.
And the result was that, that day when he went back home, he felt that tomorrow I should go a little bit earlier to listen Srimad Bhagavatam. It didn't take very long. In 2 or 3 days' time, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him, from this great devotee, that very next day after that, handed over all the business to his children and went to Vrindavan. Imagine that this can happen. You may wonder how can it happen. That is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. That when Bhagavatam can change people's life to that extent. This has happened. This is not a very, very old story. Probably about 70 years ago this happened. There are people who had seen this happening and they are aware of that. That the power of Srimad Bhagavatam is such that one's attachment for life leaves at that point. And things what he thought was important up to that time, in 1 second the whole attachment goes away from his heart. When Krishna comes to the heart, this is what happens. And somehow by the mercy of that devotee, and also due to his own previous good karma, whatever it may be, that in a second he was able to give it up, that attachment to material life. That's what it is spoken like that. So, what Krishna is saying, what Kavi Maharshi is saying here is the process of hearing. Shunvan Subhadrani Radangabanir Janmani Karmani Jayani Loke. Srimad Bhagavatam, when one hears, this will be the effect in due course, which can happen to anyone. That there are still many, many personalities in this world who are absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. We may not know about them. Not necessary. There are so many people who are unknown that they are studying Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully and completely absorbed in the thoughts of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, first person who spoke is Kavi. Kavi means Kramda Darshi. Like, there are two types of personalities in the spiritual side. That one is Rishi. Rishi means, Rishi is talked about Mantra Drashtava. One who has invented the mantra, the hymns, the Vedic hymns, they are Rishis, sages. Mantra Drashtava Rishaya, Kranda Darshi Kavaya. That is how it's spoken. Kranda Darshi. Kranda Darshi means one who can see the extreme subtle aspect of things. Very, very subtle aspect of things. They are the Kavis. In the Bhagavad Gita also there is a reference to that word. Kavim Puranam Anushasidaram Anuraniyam Samanusmaredhya. I think it is in the 8th or 9th chapter. Krishna says, Kavim Puranam Anushasidaram. So who is Kavi? First Kavi is Krishna himself. One becomes a Kavi. Kavi generally we refer to as poets, isn't it? Poets are called Kavis. But actually, real poetry is that poetry which is dictated by Krishna from within. That is proper poetry. Not all the materialistic poetry what we write in this world. That does not come under Kavita. Or it is not under the scope of this Kavi. Kavi is that person who dictates, who becomes that poetic nature, develops in him due to Krishna's presence in him, and Krishna dictates him to write what is necessary. And that what comes through his lips, that is a Kavi's nature. So we talked about Dvaidam, this duality in our mind, how it affects us, isn't it? And that is in our mind all the time. That Dvaidam is present there. So we see there that the Dvaidam or this fear that has existed, that is what is spoken here. That somehow or the other, you can know it also. When you go to sleep, in deep sleep, duality doesn't exist. So therefore there is no fear also. But as soon as you wake up, what happens? Immediately, the one after the other, things start coming. First the ahankaram, false ego comes, isn't it? When false ego comes, immediately from false ego the mind builds up. And when the mind builds up, the result is that straight away you start seeing different objects in this world, and along with that the fear also builds up from that. All the fear that was in the mind has gone away at the time of sleep. And in the morning when you wake up, immediately all those thoughts comes back again. And then the fear also comes back along with it. There are so many ways these are spoken through examples. Someone purchased a lottery ticket once. So he heard that it's a big jackpot, 30 million or something like that. So after seeing that, his mind, he couldn't resist. He said, I have to get a lottery ticket. So he bought the lottery ticket and he kept it with him. Tomorrow when the results are read, I don't know what time, 7:30, isn't it? Or something like that in the television. They tell you all the numbers, one or the other. So he saw that, we'll look at it tomorrow. With this thought, he went to bed, went to sleep. He kept his lottery ticket. Suppose if I win, what shall I do? All these thoughts were probably going through his mind. So whatever you do in Jagrat, in the waking state, that will come in some form in the dream. Not always all the things, but some of the thoughts, what you are experiencing in Jagrat, in the waking state, is what comes in the dream state. So it so happened to him that in the night when he went to sleep, he started dreaming. He started dreaming. The dream was such that he has won the lottery. You see, unfortunately for him, it was that what happened. So although he has not got this 30 million, he got it in the dream, this 30 million. So he was experiencing, I won the lottery. But sadly enough, the money he had with him, the cash, all that was stolen by some gang, has stolen the money from him. And he is running after this gang to get the money back. He is running and running, the gang is running, he is running after them. And this dream lasted for quite some time. Because he has won the lottery, you see. So he has to get the money back. So he was running in the dream after this money. Actually, he had only some 30 pounds in the bank. That's all. But he had to suffer due to this 30 million in the dream for quite some time. He has suffered because of that. And when he woke up from the dream afterwards, he was shouting also, thief, thief, he was shouting in the dream. Somebody else was sleeping next to him. And he was thinking, where is the thief? This man is dreaming something and he is shouting. But he is still very absorbed in the dream and he was shouting like anything. And then the other person woke him up, asked him, what are you shouting at? And woke him up from the sleep. Then he realized, oh, I was dreaming. So, if you remember now, when you were awake, there was one I, isn't it? I was existing in one form. That I was existing in one form. Whom I identify with this body, me, I, all the time. In everything what we say, I did this, I did that, I'm going there, I'm going. Anything in relationship with me, I. That I died there. When you went to dream, another I has come up. Isn't it? Another I has come. Who is experiencing in the dream world something. But these are the false I's which comes to us at different times in different situations. In different situations. Why are they called false I's? Because none of them are the real I. The originally, the I, when I woke up in the morning, immediately I felt I exist separately. I have no connection with Krishna at that time. I am existing separately. And I am thinking, I am this, I am that. Identification with all various material identities I have taken. And I am thinking all of that I am. I am thinking like that. And in that process, this newborn I in the morning, when I woke up, when I was born, that is the actual birth of I. That's the actual birth of I. And this I will die at night when I go into deep sleep. Isn't it? I exist in the whole waking state. Then I go to dream state, I exist. But in another I, a small, you can say one capital I and the other one a small I. Another I came up in the dream state. He did all what he has to do and he has also gone. And in the deep sleep, I never existed any I there. I didn't exist, in other words. But when I woke up, I realized that I was experiencing something. So, in other words, I existed, but I was not aware of my existence in that way. Like the way I experienced in the
waking state or the dream state. So you can see there that so long as we do not connect ourselves with our real I, what we are, which is spirit nature, by spiritual nature, we will continue to exist in the material world with material I and material identities. And as long as that goes on, we have to accept the Maya's influence on us. In other words, Maya will disturb us in all these circumstances. Another example. If you look into the
Krishna says here that the that
all these things are very interesting to know, because if you think about all these things when you have some free time, that is going to be discussed when you will get free time. That's coming next. In the Bhagavatam, you see, a person had a big feast, right? Had a big feast, ate very well. And then we have arranged one air-conditioned room for him to sleep. He is sleeping in the air-conditioned room, having eaten very well. And then he went to good sleep. He was getting such a good sleep. And then the dream started coming. What was the dream, you know? When he was dreaming, he is dreaming, I am in a desert. And in the desert, I am starving and I am very thirsty. This man has eaten so well and is sleeping in the air-conditioned room, but he is suffering there, thinking that he is in the desert and looking for water. Looking for water. So that I who went to sleep fully satisfied in the stomach and fully enjoying the sleep has gone. Another I has come saying that I am hungry and thirsty and running and running and running in the desert looking for food and drink. Imagine, this is what we are. This is going on in our life day after day after day. Isn't it? Day after day after day, this is going on. Look at Bhagavatam, what it says about that.
If you look into the verse number 38 in that
Kavi's instruction, there is so much in Kavi's instruction to discuss. A Kavi says here, avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dyadurdhiya svapna manoratho yadha tal karma sangalpa vigalpagammano udo nirundhyadhavayam tadasyal. That is the beautiful verse about that. This is all referring to this verse. Avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dyadurdhiya svapna manoratho yathaham tal karma sangalpa vigalpagammano buddho nirundhyadhavayam tadasyal. Let's look at this. Avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo. Why does this happen? Kavi Maharshi is saying there that all these different identities are coming to us. And normally you know that we cannot be 100% free from thoughts. Is it possible? I know very well, now all of you are hearing now what is spoken. But if I think that you are 100% following what I am saying, I will be the biggest fool. Because it is not possible. It's not possible. That is, these words are indicating to that. I'll tell you why. See the words used there. Avidyamano avibhadihi dvayom. Avidya. Avidya means what? Avidya means ignorance. Isn't it? This avidya is in all of us to different degrees. To a very large degree, but with different variations, of course. Avidyamano avavadihi dvayom. As long as this avidya, ignorance is there. Avidya is from there. Ajnanam comes words. Ajnanam, ignorance. Anyway. Avidyamano avabadihi dvayo dhya durdhiya svapna manoratho yatha. So what happens is, when avidya is there in a person, all of us have avidya. So when avidya is there, even it only applies to you, it applies to me also, because when I am speaking now, I am not 100% focused. My mind is also getting distracted in various things. That is due to avidya. There is no doubt about that. So what happens is, avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo. This avidya is inside. Avidya is inside. Avabhadihi dvayo. Avabhadi means it starts manifesting in us. And the result is Jadurdhiya Swapna Manorato Yatha. The effect of that is Swapnam and Manoratham. I don't know whether you know the differences between these two. Swapnam you all know. Swapna means basically dreaming, isn't it? Swapna means dream. Manoratham is also dream. Manoratham is Dhyadurdhiya Swapna Manoratham Yathaha. Manoratham is also dream. But then what is the difference between Swapnam and Manoratham? The difference is this. In Swapnam, your senses are all inert. It's not acting. Swapnam, the senses are not acting. The senses are quiet. Only the mind is acting. Only the mind is acting. But in Manoratham, what is happening is, you are awake, but you are dreaming. You are awake, you are still dreaming. You are dreaming about something. Your eyes are open, ears are hearing something, but you are not here. You are somewhere else. That is called Manoratham. So basically, there is no difference between Swapnam and Manoratham. The only difference is that in Swapnam, the senses are not acting. Only the mind is acting. But in Manoratham, apart from the mind, the senses are also vigilant or also engaged in something. For example, in Manoratham state, you are hearing me, or you are hearing some music, or you are doing something. Sometimes you can see some people come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. When they come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll bring with him a lot of work to do with them. What's the point in hearing Bhagavatam like this? They don't have time, they're so busy in devotional service, they can't hear Srimad Bhagavatam carefully. So they'll bring another work with them. They think that they're sitting, I'm sitting there at least, that's probably the satisfaction in their mind. Oh, I was in the class, Prabhu, but I was doing something else. So that is Manoratham, another type of Manoratham it is. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this Kavi Maharshi's instructions, it will make us to think that what kind of consciousness are we engaged in Krishna service? What kind of Krishna consciousness level are we at? Because avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya swapna manoratham yathaha. Swapnam and manoratham, this is always there. So even in the Jagrat state is not complete. This is the point I wanted to say, because in Kavi Maharshi is saying here that point, that dhyadurdhiya swapna manoratham yatha. That dhyadurdhiya, that your mind, although you are listening, is also in the mental chariot. Manoratham means mental chariot. Swapna means dream. So you are traveling in your mental chariot somewhere, going on. And something you are hearing also. Something you are hearing, and somewhere the mind is also going. Sometimes the mind can be so powerful that you may sit here and listen 2 or 3 hours. And if somebody asks you, what did you hear today? So, no, I can't remember anything. Why do we say that? Because that is the proof that you are in Manoratham in the room. You are not listening. This is the proof of that. Because if we were in pure Jagrat state, pure vacant state, if you heard something, it should stay inside, isn't it? But when you come out of the room and if somebody asks you, what was discussed today? It goes. Gone. It's gone. While hearing, there was some effect. But as soon as you leave the room and somebody asks you what was discussed, forget tomorrow, even today, this Sunday, I'd say 7 o'clock or 7:30, somebody asked you, what was discussed today in the Bhagavatam class? You will start thinking, what was discussed today? So why is that? That is this. Kavi Maharshi is saying this. So now you know what is Bhagavatam means. When you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, if our hearing process is not perfect, in the hearing dhyadurdhiya swapna manoratham yathaha, then what will happen is, in verse says here, tal karma sangalpa vikalpa gammana, mind will act in such a way, karmam sangalpam, karmam, karma sangalpa vikalpa gammana. The duty of the mind is to create this sangalpam and vikalpam in karma. You see, this is an important point. Basically, what do we think in all these things, all this time? What we think is this thing. What do I have to do? I have to go home. Then what? I have to phone up such and such a person. Then, I have to take children to school. Then, I have to go to such and such an office, at appointment with somebody. Like this, different things what we have got to do at different times for the future, because our appointment diary is full with so many different things we have packed up. And many things are not written in the diary, isn't it? Most of the things are in the head. And these thoughts will keep coming back to us again and again. That is called Sangalpam and Vigalpam. Karma Sangalpam it's called. It's all in relationship with our karma. So, it says here that tal karma sangalpa vigalpa gammana budho nirindhya dhavayam tadasyal. So, this sangalpam, what is going on due to the influence of the mind, puts us in the mental chariot and we start our chariot journey at this time. And this is going on throughout the day in the Jagrat state. Throughout the day in the Jagrat state. When one is able to block this completely, for what does it require? It requires a complete control of the mind. Because it's the mind that is causing. You see, the definition of the mind itself is like this. In the yoga system, Patanjali says this. Yoga, chitta vritti nirodha. Chitta vritti means these activities of the mind, continuously, one after the other. Unable to stop this thought process. Unfortunately, sometimes it can be so overpowering that when you go to sleep at night, you can't even sleep. Why? Because these thoughts are pushing you all the time. All the time. So many thoughts, and for different people it is different things, but doesn't matter. It is called a chittavritti. Chittavritti continuously invading you and disturbing you in the sleep. And in order to stop this, people take all sorts of tranquilizers and things like that. So somehow or the other, that ability to think goes away. Because as long as you are capable of thinking, this will come. The thought process will carry on. So weaken the nerves and somehow put you to sleep. This is what people do. So, unfortunately, Bhagavatam is saying here, avidyaya avidyamano avabadhi. This verse is very important. Avidyam, this is verse number 38. Avidyamano avabadhi dvayo dhyadurdhiya sopna manuradhavyatha. Tal karma sangalpa vigalpagam manobudho nirandhyadavayam tadasyal. If you have succeeded in stopping this function of the mind, you are released from the fear. There is no more fear after that. Tado nirandhyadavayam tadasyal. Why? Because all what you are experiencing in this material world is due to the effect of the mind. Isn't it? The mind is what is telling us. Everything, all the time, engaging, connects us with this material existence. Suppose, we read the newspaper, we hear the television, we hear the radio, and we get to hear about all the problems in all parts of the world, isn't it? And then we start worrying about it, isn't it? Suppose you didn't hear about it, you don't worry about it either. And by your hearing, there's not a lot you can do about it also. So the intelligent understanding is that, to withdraw the mind from the external world to the extent possible and to keep oneself free from the, bring the mind under control. That is the topmost priority. That's what a yogi does. And it is specifically, precisely for this reason that the great sages, they went to the forest first. They did not, because especially in the early stages, till one has not cultivated that ability to detach themselves from the world outside, he has to guard his mind all the time. He has to guard his mind all the time. It is the most difficult thing. Everybody agrees that. Arjuna said the same thing. Uddhava also said the same thing to Krishna. But what did Krishna say is that? Krishna says, I agree with you that it is the most difficult thing. But it is possible by practice. That is Krishna's answer to that. Isn't it? In the 6th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna answered Arjuna like that. It is possible by practice to stop it. He said. So, avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya sopna manoratho yadham. Then, tal karma sangalpa vigalpagammano budho nirundhyadhavayam tadasyal. That you can, if one can stop this mind falling into that situation, then he will be able to feel fear, fearless situation. That is the first thing. So this bringing the mind under control is the goal of all processes. Bhakti process, Jnanam process, yoga process, all this is directed towards that. If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, what is 10th canto named after? The 10th canto has been given a name, isn't it? By the Vasudeva Goswami himself. The name given is Nirodham. Nirodham is the name given to the 10th canto. What is Nirodham from what? Mano Nirodham, stopping the mind. By hearing about Krishna continuously, somehow or the other, if one can get attracted to Krishna's activities, birth and appearance and the pastimes, eventually what will happen is the mind will become free from all unwanted understanding of life, unwanted things in life, and he will be able to become free from the mind will become stable and steady. It will not get disturbed anymore by any of these things. So that is why Mano Nirodham it is called. Dashamam is called Dashamam. Dashamam means the 10th canto is called Mano Nirodham. Nirodho Muktir Ashrayaha. Nirodham is the 10th canto, Mukti is the 11th canto, Ashrayam is the 12th canto. So that has been spoken in the 2nd canto itself. So, Dhyadurdhiya Sottamano Radhau Yadha Talkarma Sangalpa Vigalpagammana. Karmam, Sangalpam and Vigalpam. See how much damage mind is doing to us all the time. In the Jagrat state, it creates this thought process, continuously pushing us to think this, that and the other. Keeps us in the mental chariot, manoratham. In the dream state, it keeps us in the dream chariot. We are in the dream state then. There also, who is doing all the damage? The mind is doing, isn't it? So, and therefore, the major influence in us throughout the life, the most subtle aspect of us is that mind. That is the most subtle aspect is that mind. And getting rid of that subtle body is given importance than the gross body. Gross body will drop off anyway one day. That you don't have to struggle very hard. But the subtle body don't leave you. It goes with you from one life to another life. And suppose more and more karma sangalpa yugalpam start. More and more karma we execute. What will happen? The karma will create its own vasanas. And these vasanas will start building up inside. And with the result that it will increase this flow of the thoughts process inside. That's why you will see very, very busy people in this world. You know, they are always very serious also, isn't it? They can't smile, they can't think about anything else because they are so absorbed in their busy life. So that busy life doesn't help spiritually very much. Spiritually it's not so helpful. So therefore it said, Tal karma sangalpa vigalpakam mana. Mind will create karmam. Karmam in itself is not a wrong thing. Karmam is not a problem if one is able to execute the karmam properly. But what is the problem then? Karmam is called a jadam. Jadam means dead thing. What does if I execute karmam, why should it cause a problem? In itself it's not a problem. But with karmam, two problems happen. What are they? Two problems are there with the karmam. Kartratvam and bhoktratvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This will come. It is not possible so easy to escape from that. We may sing, oh, I am not the doer and all, we will say through our lips. But to practice that and to execute work in that Krishna, in that consciousness is very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. That is why even after studying Shastram and even after getting a lot of realizations, this thing, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, don't go away very easily from people. Anyone who execute spiritual life, you will notice that. Even sometimes you will think this, sometimes, that I am the doer. You may externally say Krishna is doing everything. But to come to that realization all the time is very, very difficult. It's an extremely difficult thing. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. And similarly, expectation of results. Say constantly you are working on something and if everything is failing, you may think that why should I continue with this, isn't it? That's because this bhoktratvam is very strongly there. And to free oneself from that is very, very difficult. And they say that even very advanced souls spiritually, they find it very hard to come out of this particular aspect of it. That is Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see that there are two processes recommended for this. Two processes recommended for this. One is the process of Jnanam and the other one is the process of Bhakti. In 11th canto, that is how it is spoken about it. Two processes. One is Jnanam and one is Bhakti. Jnanam is the process through Vijayanam. Vijayanam means through thought process. Thought process, how is it done? Through thought process is constantly keeping a watch on the mind. Constantly. And telling the mind that you have nothing to do with me, you have come only to bother me. And also, whenever anything is done, to be always able to not to identify with the karma or with the activity as the doer, but as you know, it is the most difficult thing to do. To do anything in this world without being identifying with that. That is the Jnanamargam. What is discussed in the Bhagavadam is like that. Jnanamargam is like that. That through Vicharam, through thought power, one develops this understanding. All the time, alert over the mind and constantly rejecting the ownership of doing something, ownership of anything, and the results also. If a person can come to that status and one can execute like that many, many years of life in that way, then it is possible that he may be able to escape from that identity. And in order to develop that, this is why it is spoken, anything what is done in Krishna's service has to be done without any ownership to that. In no way there should be any... because if you develop identity, I am the doer, and I want the results from that, then it is as good as karmam outside. There is no difference. When does karmam becomes pure? When these two elements goes away from that. We have discussed all this in the Bhagavad Gita also. In the third chapter, if you remember Karma Yogam, it is talked very detailed there. But always remember that these two are the main enemies of karmam. Karmam executed with these two, Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam, doer and the enjoyer, will bring back some problems for us. That will not release us from the... It will not purify us, in other words. So that is why it is said like that. What is the second process? Second process is bhakti. Bhakti, Krishna consciousness, in other words. So, out of these two processes, the Jnana Margam is possible for those who have that sharp mind and who have the capacity to think and always able to analyze things before engaging in activity. And they would have already come to a stage of detachment and renunciation from this world by which they are able to keep away from those activities which are not required for spiritual life. So in other words, those who are very, very serious, they can do that process of Jnanamargam. Or those process, or who have got that capacity to do so. But for others who do not have that, for them the best option, Krishna says here, is chanting the holy name. By chanting process, automatically the mind gets purified. Provided the chanting is executed properly. When one chants the holy name, that is the easiest process, or the association of great souls, which is not always available. So the next alternative is to chant the holy name, and through that process, one can purify one's own mind. And when the mind is purified, this kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam will go away. And his activities also get purified. And the result of that will be that he will become pure in his existence. And at that time, all this fear of material existence goes away from him. That is what Bhagavatam is saying here. That in these verses, avidyamanopavadihidvayo dhyadurdiyo sapnamanorato yatha tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam mano budho nirindhyadvayam tadasyal. Then, when we are in the Jagrat state, as I mentioned before, when we are in the Jagrat state,
Swapnam and Manoratham, that means dream state and the mental chariot, they also exist with us simultaneously. So, suppose while sitting in this room, you fall asleep. And you can start dreaming here, right now, in this room. You could be dreaming something, somewhere. So, dream state and this Manoratham or the mental chariot, that state, is not independent of Jagrat state. Is not independent of Jagrat state. In Jagrat state itself, it will keep coming and taking away your energy. Suppose in Jagrat state, you have managed to come out of this completely. No dream, no mental chariot, nothing. Then you are self-realized already there. You're already self-realized there. There, because you are properly situated in your spiritual identity. So at that point, the mind has no impact on you. Nothing is influencing you at that time. Because you are in pure Jagrat state. That's the pure Jagrat state. Esya Jagrat Samyami Sadhisani Apashirovani. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That in the second chapter, while talking about a Sthita Prajna's nature, there is this expression from Krishna about the state of Sthita Prajna. How does he walk? How does he function? All these questions Arjuna was asking. And there he says there that he is asleep when we are all awake. And he is awake when we are all sleeping. Isn't it? I can't remember that verse. Esya Jagrati Bhudani Sanisha Pashyato Mune. That is the last two lines. Yanisha Sarva Bhudanam Esya Jagrati Samyami. Esya Jagrati Bhudani Sanisha Pashyato Mune. That's the verse. Yeah. So, what is that state? This is that state. That he is pure and realized state. He is not disturbed anymore. What goes on in the world has not affected him. What we are doing is, we are trying to change the world. Shastra is saying, don't bother about the world, change yourself. That is the easiest thing to do. You are thinking, okay, let me make the whole world Krishna conscious. And then one day I will start chanting my rounds. First let everybody else become Krishna conscious properly, 16 rounds. Four regulative principles. After I have established in the, all over the world, then I will start my part. That's not going to happen. Instead of doing all that, the easiest thing to do is let the world carry on its own way. That will happen. That has already been set in motion by somebody. And that is going to take its own motion. Your tiny effort in this world is not going to be a big impact on it. Even if it did, it will last only for that time as long as you are here. Once you go, that will also go with you. We see this in material life all the time, isn't it? Material life, you see this all the time. Especially in democracy. One leader comes, he brings a series of reforms, and he thinks, I got it right now, everything is perfect. Fourth or fifth year, he loses his place. The next party comes in, he says, all these problems you have got, you know why? Because the last one, he has created all this. Isn't it? He said, and blames the whole thing on the last person. And then he starts his reform after that. Isn't it? So whether it is on a material level or on a spiritual level, it's not different. It's going to be the same. You try like the materialists try. You also try your spiritual things in this world. You will also get disappointed one day. And then you'll also pack up and say, this is all bogus. I'm going. You'll go. So instead of that to happen, better to happen this way. That Maya, if you fight against Maya, you won't win. But if you surrender to Maya and say, look, I don't want to fight with you. Leave me alone. That may work. There's a possibility you may succeed in that. But if you try to fight against Maya, thinking that, oh, I have taken it upon myself, this battle. I've got to salt out this whole world. And it's my duty. Krishna says this to Uddhava later. We'll come to that. What Krishna says to Uddhava about that. When Dwaraka was to go underwater, Uddhava says to Krishna, this beautiful Dwaraka, why should it go underwater? Krishna says, that's my decision, he says. So Krishna has decided like that, and similarly everything, anything and everything, Krishna has decided something, this is what is going to be. So as long as we accept that and think that that is the better approach in this, rather than trying to change everyone's life. Then why do we preach? That question will come, isn't it? That's a natural question, comes from that. That is, the reason is this. As a devotee, you have to glorify Krishna. That is our devotee's duty, is to glorify Krishna. One day, for some reason, someone may get attracted to Krishna consciousness and he may take to it. That is his vasanas and karmam. But to think that because of me sorting out this world, this gold is going to become Krishna conscious, that will be the biggest foolishness. That was not going to happen. Glorifying Krishna is our duty. As devotees, one has to discuss Bhagavatam. Because constantly discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens? All this understanding becomes clearer in our head. And we become properly established that what is going on, that we have accepted some false thing as reality. And we are chasing these false things in this world in the name of spiritual life. And we get misled by all these things. And we get victimized by all that. So in order to keep our realization and our understanding correct, we need to consult Bhagavatam. There is no other Vedic literature which tells us so precisely about the duties of the living entity, like the way Bhagavatam has spoken. And especially in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will find this. That it is spoken again and again to us to tell us that what is your duty first. First duty is analyze yourself first, what you are. Therefore, Jagral, Sapnam, Sushupti. Then what else? Avidya, ignorance. How much it is influencing us at every stage. And how to free oneself from that. All that is things is what is Kavi Maharshi is talking about here. Though, so, Vidirnama dvidiyal bhavadinanumanam kalpidanja dvidiyam tene kabhya sashilohadayam ihayada shakti buddhva nirundhyam. That it may not be possible for you to block all these things in one lot. Shakti buddhva nirundhyam. According to your capacity, you should try. This is what it says. According to your capacity, at least you should try. If you don't try, what will happen? Will continue in the same way, isn't it? So, analysis of life is necessary. Because if you don't analyze, how will you know that what is... Because sometimes you see people, they are always absorbed in their big, big plans of this world. They have no time. They have no time. Once it so happened, that this happened in India, not here. The one person met with an accident. So all the friends and relatives got together and took him to hospital, to the doctor. So he was on the verge of yes or no, death. You know, wasn't sure what will happen. So they brought him to the hospital. It was late in the evening. So the doctor said to him that he'll be all right. I think we have to perform this operation tomorrow. And he'll be all right after that. He'll be all right. Because the relatives were putting a lot of pressure on the doctor. That please do help us, do something about it. You know how people are. They will ask doctor, although doctor can't do anything, what can doctor do? If he has to die. What doctor can do about it? So, but we have this understanding that with all our technology, we can save the life, you see. Saving the life is the motto, isn't it? They're always talking about saving the life. Who can save whom? The person who is saying he is going to save, he'll also go before that. So he's the one who is trying to save somebody. And actually, that's beautiful. In the Bhagavatam, you'll find, Chakshushravanagalastamamdarduryam. Example given is like this. A snake is sitting here. Inside that, there is a frog sitting. The snake is slowly eating him. You know when the snake eats, how he eats? Because the frog is big. The snake's mouth is small. So he puts him in and pushes in all the time. And when he goes in, that part of the snake is bulging all over the body when he goes inside. Yeah? Chatushravanagalastamamdarduryam. Another name for the snake is Chatushravanam. Chatushravanam means snake has got one sense which does two jobs. Chatusha and Shravanam. That means seeing and hearing is done by the same sense. I don't know whether you have heard this. It's a famous thing known in the Shastram like that. It's called Chakshushravanam. Chakshushravanam means he can hear and he can also see. Two things. But when he hears, he won't see. When he sees, he won't hear. This is the beauty of the... Is it time? 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. So let's stop here. So, Chakshushravanakalasamam Dharduram. Dharduram means frog. This frog is sitting inside this, inside the snake's mouth. And Dharduram, see, the frog is seeing the fly is passing over in front of it. And the frog is showing his tongue open to get that in, to eat. Is it anything different than that? What we are doing? Chakshushravana Galasamam Dharduram. That Dharduram is looking for food and is excited in the situation. So, this doctor says to him that tomorrow I'll sort this out. What happened? That night the doctor died. So, the operation was sorted out the next day. So, this is like this. All of our situation is in the same way. So, what is important thing is to remember Kavi Maharshi's instructions. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Next week, we are having class at the usual time. We are not changing it anymore. 5 o'clock we start, finish at 7:30. Hare Krishna.